All right, we are black.
Speak for yourself. Yes.
Speak for yourself. Believe the lie, so everything that I know says I gotta go, tired of going solo. But I'm never gonna go there again. This is what it is. This is who I am. This is where I'm finally. Yes. All right. Sorry, everyone, or hello, everyone.
Yeah.
No bumper music this week, unless Dave, you want to drop it in later.
But, I will.
All right. Good. Good. Perfect. All right. We're doing it a little bit different this week, and we're going to do a Zoom conversation. Dave has commitments,
yep.
And so he's afar.
Yeah.
I'm expecting to see someone pop up in that little. Doorway you have behind you.
I locked it this time.
Have you?
Okay. While I was testing. Like
there's a space, either a closet or something where someone, something is going to jump out at any moment now and say hello or boo.
Yeah. Or something.
But anyway, welcome everyone to Fresh Black Coffee, Saturday, July 16th, is it today, I guess?
I believe so, yes. Yeah, middle of July. Man. Boy, does it feel like it.
Oh, I know. The year is flying by, isn't it, Dave?
It is.
Just flying by. I want to let everybody know we're all in again this week, as we are so often. But, man, it's been a week. It's been hot, hot. You know, it's so funny because I thought we never would. I thought we'd never finish the rain.
The
cool season, summer would never get here, and now that summer's here,
it's like
is summer ever going to end? Yeah, I think in Tulsa now we're ready for it to be over. My neighbors just got a new hot tub, and I think they're ready for it's a cool tub. You know, I think they put ice water in it and they get in there and cool off. It's funny. Even the birds aren't afraid of us anymore. And the squirrel, I come out in water, and all of the birds, instead of them taking off from me, they all come now. They all the birds, and they fly through my water. I throw water in the air and the birds fly through it and the bugs fly through it. I feel like Saint Francis of Assisi.
Yeah.
I attract all the critters because they're all, I mean, I got wasps. My wife calls me the wasp whisperer because when I water, the wasps come out around me and let me know, hey, over here. And I go and I put water and every wasp fly through the water, and then the birds come and I fill the refreshing the bird bath for them. I make them nice. Are you comfy now? And you see them all out there. And the Cardinals, they're a little more cautious. So what they do, they'll go under a bush.
Mm-hmm.
And they want you to water the bush.
Oh, yeah.
And then they let the water drip from the bush down on them and stuff. I mean, it's amazing how animals are. But it's kind of cool to see that they all, when it comes to water, they're not afraid. I mean, they come out and let you know.
So I got to tell you, yesterday I look out the back door to the patio, and I've got these patio chairs with cushions.
Right.
And I saw a squirrel laying on top of the backrest cushion, you know, the top part.
Right.
And he is spread eagle on his belly.
Yeah,
he's too tired to move.
Yeah, that's what we have. Our fence, we have the post rails.
Yeah.
And they're always like, they're hugging the rail and just like this out there. Especially if it's wet. Once we wet, and they're just laid out there on it, just cooling it out there. And it's funny because we have this dog, it's a poodle, but he doesn't care about the squirrels at all. So you have the poodle walking around down at the bottom, and the squirrel just laying there looking down at him, you know. And he said, what's up? What's up?
Well, Eddie, I got to ask you, I hear you're doing some interviews, your book's getting some reviews, you're on second printing already?
Yeah, we you're funny. It's good. Yeah, we as you know, in the last week, I think we talked about it, or a week before, we've got the new cover and the new everything on it, and I actually have a publicist now,
good.
And this is the new cover y'all have sinned. It's got a black arm and chain and a white arm and chain. But it's the same book, just different cover. As I say, you can't judge a book by its cover. Same thing between the covers, but
yeah.
I mean, I'll be real honest with you, Dave. I think we talked about this before. I still like the original, just plain simple.
Yeah.
Y'all have sinned. But yeah, I did my first interview this last week, and it went well. It was with it's a big national podcast out of North Carolina. I'm doing another one this week and then two more the following week, which are more nationally syndicated. And hopefully eventually I'll make it to maybe somebody will see me on Newsmax or Fox or somewhere. But we'll see if I'm not too controversial.
What I want to get into, Eddie. You know, every time I write something, you know, there's some things that, okay, this is not a big deal. And then there's other things I think, okay, now people are going to get worked up about this. And you never can tell what things are going to press buttons. Has any of that happened?
No, but the lady, actually, by the way, I have to say, it was a really, really nice interview, a Christian lady, I was surprised. She was really really nice, but anyway, she was just shocked by so much of what I had in there, and I'm not surprised. As you know, Dave, there's so much in there nobody ever knew.
Yeah.
You just don't know.
Oh, I'm surprised. I mean, a year ago, I started doing this project with you. And, you know, you talk about the donkey's famous quote from Shrek. You got layers. You got layers. Eddie, I mean, you've got layers.
And the book has layers because there's so much in this book that people just don't know about everything. And a lot of the really shocking, especially in the Black community, this critical race theory, it's so important that people understand. And I know I used to get in trouble with a lot of Black people. I talked to some of the, especially the older Black citizens, didn't like the fact that I was exposing secrets, you know. They didn't like the fact that I was airing dirty laundry among white folks, you know, like. And I'm thinking, you don't think people see our issues? And I just want to give an understanding to where this comes from. And until you see where this comes from, you can't get help. It's like going to the doctor and saying, hey, doctor, I've got this big rash. And they don't, you know, not finding out what's causing the rash, right?
Yeah.
You need to find out what's causing it, or like the deal, you know, I've got this venereal disease, or I've got AIDS, without finding out where you got it from.
Yeah.
And so it's a very, very important that we go back and find out what the cause is. And that's what I kind of do with, you know, the situation in the Black community I always get you for pounding the table and I know this looks Kevin. where a lot of the situation that the Black community is in now, where it's coming from.
Yeah.
And then why the white community and the church in particular, this is really written, I think you'll agree, primarily to the church and where the church, the fault of the church lies and what the church can do and should do and so forth.
Absolutely.
And that's what this is really about, but it's historical, it's biblical, it's political. It's all three into one. And it's like, and that's the problem to me with Christians. With a lot of the church and the pastors, they seem to want to separate. That doesn't involve us. You know, that's one of the things that just really irks me is when I hear a pastor talk about, you got to quit listening to Fox News and CNN. And no, you don't, because it's reality.
Absolutely.
It tells you what's going on, and you need to know where your enemy is. You need to know where the fight is. You need to know what's going on in the world.
Okay. Yeah.
Because if you don't know, you don't know how to pray. You don't know where where the battle is. And if you want your people to run around ignorant, they don't know how to pray. They don't know how to fight. They don't know how to protect their children. They don't know how to protect their families. They don't know how to do anything.
Yeah.
And so if you keep telling your people, oh, stay away from Fox News, they're just negative all the time.
Yeah.
And so what do you tell them? Go listen to CNN, MSNBC. Are you serious? That's what you're going to send your people there? Or, you know what I mean? I mean, it's idiotic. And if you're telling people don't listen at all, stick your head in the sand and just imagine it's going to go away. Don't vote. Don't get politically involved, or just go vote and go. You're going to a polling place. Are you a Democrat or Republican? I don't know. I mean, okay. Well, here's a ballot. You're an independent. First of all, you can't vote in your primaries. And then when you go to vote in the actual election, they give you a ballot. You have no clue who you're voting for, right?
Well, you could do what your predecessor, Michael Del Giorno, you said he would just count the yard signs on the way to the polling location. Or how many mailers got? Who won the mailer war?
Oh man. But you see what I'm saying? So, but that's what this book deals with a lot. And as you know, I go after everybody, and I'll give you a little hint. For example, I think we've talked about this. This is just one of the things you'll find in the book, where the California gun laws come from.
Yeah.
Okay. The stringent, and not just in California, where the attack on the Second Amendment, where it began. Now, people are going to be very shocked when I tell them where the attack on the Second Amendment came from.
Hmm.
It came from Ronald Reagan.
You're saying the quiet part out loud.
Exactly. Exactly. It was when in 66, 67, I don't remember the day. I'll have to read my book.
It would have been after, I think he got elected in 65. I think California, aren't they a year
early? Right, so I think it was 66, 67.
Yeah.
Anyway, it was when the Black Panthers were running around at open carry.
Yeah.
And there's pictures, you remember the Black Panthers in Sacramento.
Can't have them black guys carrying guns, Eddie, right?
Exactly.
Yeah,
that's it. And so Ronald Reagan introduced the laws against the open carry with the Black Panthers. He wanted to stop these N-words.
Yeah,
I don't think he was using it. And listen, let me say this. I'm not saying Ronald Reagan was a racist, and I'm not going that far. He meant well, good intention. Mm-hmm. That went bad.
Yes,
bad people use good intention for the wrong purpose.
Well, and I think it's just short sighted. They're looking at the initial issue in front of them, and they want to fix that. But how you fix it is important as getting it fixed.
Right.
Because we see problems down the line when we don't use the best remedies.
Right. And it's being short-sighted. See, they used our own good intention against us.
Yeah, they did.
And they turned it around, and then they just built on it. And it's funny because the NRA supported Reagan in this. The NRA was on his side, believe it or not. The NRA was in favor. This is what's so crazy. It was Ronald Reagan and with the help of the NRA that actually ushered in the suppression of the Second Amendment rights of Californians, and then it just started spreading around.
Exactly.
And that's where we are. And then all of a sudden it flipped, and we said, wait a minute, what have we done? And this is where we find ourselves.
It was Wayne LaPierre in the early 90s against Clinton was when the NRA changed, and it was an earthquake in D.C. on the K Street lobbyists, because the NRA played nice. They played the D.C. game, and all of a sudden, Wayne LaPierre finally said, and this was the earthquake, he said, I am convinced that Bill Clinton is comfortable with a certain amount of gun violence because it furthers his agenda.
Yeah.
You know, so, yeah, but anyway.
And if you remember, Ronald Reagan started out, as well as Charlton Heston, started out as a Democrat. They were both Democrats in the 50s. And then they both switched their party affiliations. So, as I said, it's so funny. If you read, you'll also notice, like, for example, the NAACP, believe it or not, was founded by Republicans. It was all Republicans that founded the NAACP.
Yep.
Now, there's not a Republican alive involved with the NAACP. So this is it's been a real switcheroo, right?
The
Ku Klux Klan was formed by the Democrats, but now the Democrats make everybody believe that the Ku Klux Klan is a Republican organization.
Yeah.
You know? So these are the things that have to be straightened out in people's minds. And this book will help you get everything properly organized in place and then understand what your fight is. Say, deals with critical race theory, deals with white guilt, that there should be none, you know, all of these things, social justice, there is no social justice, there's just justice, all of these things. And until, honestly, Dave, until we get that right in our minds, our country is going to continue. I think of well, he wasn't a Supreme Court justice. He should have been a Supreme Court justice. And I'm talking about Bork.
Yeah.
And Justice or Mr. Bork, I guess he was a justice. He was just never a Supreme Court justice.
Right.
Tragic individual. I mean, that was a great tragedy that he wrote a book called Slouching Towards Gomorrah.
Right.
And that, wow, man, it was a tough book to read, but it was prophetic. It was a prophetic book explaining where we are headed, and he nailed it. And I think we're on the, we're probably at Gomorrah on our way to Sodom. we're somewhere between Gomorrah and Sodom. When we read Sodom, watch out. You know, that's when the fire comes and the pillars of salt and so forth. So anyway, that's about the book. That's enough. Amazon, by the way, it's on Kindle now. So if you don't want to get the book and you want to get it on your tablet or whatever, Amazon Kindle. Y'all, YALL have sinned, or just put Eddie Huff in there and Y'all Have Sinned will show up, and get it on Amazon. It'll be there in 2 days. And hopefully
Eddie,
people enjoy it.
We didn't talk, but you just, from your book, dealing with race relations and saying the quiet part out loud, it spurred me on something. We didn't talk about this in our show notes, but I feel like comfortable we should talk about it. Some really good news happening with the Tulsa Public School Board. Somebody you know and respect, admire as much as I do, Elena Ashley, just got elected to it.
Yeah.
Well, now she's being very bold in calling for some accountability. And now another Black woman on the school board, I think Mitchell was her last name. I'm sorry, I didn't have my notes ready on this. But they're now calling for an audit. And Governor Stitt has called on our state auditor and inspector to audit the Tulsa County School Board, our Tulsa Public School Board. And Deborah Gist is fit to be tied over it.
Oh, I know. Well, yeah, she should be fit to be tied. She should probably be tied to be fit. if you remember, Gary Jones tried to do an audit many years ago, and I don't know whatever happened. I don't think it ever got done, but they should be audited.
Yeah,
and I think if we find out what's really going on with the money, see, here's my problem with these audits. Okay, not so much the audits. I think what you're going to find is the actual state funding, the normal government funding that's coming from D.C. or whatever.
Yeah.
I don't think there's a whole lot of shenanigans or problems going on with that funding. I think where the real problem is that you're going to find is going to be with the bond money.
Ah, yeah.
And that's where the big, I mean, that's where there's some big money there.
Yeah.
First of all, it begins with who's holding the bonds. Mm-hmm. Now, here's what I don't understand, okay? This is goes back into the into the teens when George started to say Soros, our own George Kaiser.
Yeah.
He started these elder care. Educare.
Okay. Yes. Yeah.
So he is known as this. In fact, they did a 60-minute special on him about this wonderful, benevolent guy who starts Educare things. You remember?
Yep.
And so, so he starts Educares. Well, if you remember the Educare here, the main one down there, he got $53 million for this Educare, the main one, the first one they did. Mm-hmm. And so he gets $53 million on that of bond money. This is bond money. Okay. So then he gets that. And then still he gets the extra funding, you know, donation, private money, and so forth along with that.
Yeah.
So, well, and then he owns BOK.
Yeah.
Which holds the bond money.
Yes. Yes.
Right. Yeah. Right. You see where I'm headed?
Yeah. Let me hold that money for you. Yeah,
he BOK holds the bond money. They get, and this was Ken Yeazel's big deal.
Yeah.
So BOK holds the bond money, which they're getting the fees for all of the bond money.
Yeah.
So this guy is making money on the money. Mm-hmm. That he is making. He's the same guy. You remember Solyndra?
Yes.
Right?
$500 million.
How much?
$500 million.
$500 million. $500 million.
Federal money was given grants.
So they invest in this Solyndra, which was solar power, right?
Yeah.
Solar power. I guess Solyndra lasted 3 years, maybe. Mm-hmm.
Ran out of money.
An Obama deal. Mm-hmm. So they start this company, yeah. Solyndra. They go, they invest the money. They make money right at the beginning of it. They get the federal backing, the money. All of a sudden, the company goes belly up.
Yeah.
They get all their money out, go bankrupt. The rest of the investors are screwed. They get nothing.
Right.
Man. But George, the billionaire, billionaire who owns Bank of Oklahoma, Bank of Denver, Bank of Dallas, I think Bank of Phoenix, I think is the other one. Mm-hmm. So he's got banks in Texas, Oklahoma, Colorado, and Arizona. Okay. Yep. He comes away clean.
Oh yeah,
and if you ever look into how I think didn't we talk about how he got BOK? I think we talked.
Oh yeah, it was government money. Yeah.
Well, he was the head of the board to dissolve BOK.
Right. Yes,
he set the price of what it would cost to buy it.
Yeah,
he set the price. Then he bought it.
Yeah. Now this is part of the SNL savings disaster. Yeah, the SNL savings disaster, and there was this federal program that was going to sweeten the pie, and there only one recipient ever was George Kaiser to take over BOK, and then they closed the program. he was the only recipient of it, and so it was really essentially no money of his own, and now he's got this banking empire.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, actually, what happened there, see, it lost, I think, $300 to $500 million. I can't remember, somewhere in there. So they were able to get tax credits for the loss.
Yeah.
Then he was able to sell the tax credits for half. Mm-hmm. For half. If I'm not mistaken, I think it was $500 million. He sold them for $300 million, and took the $300 million. And then took $110 million, which is what the liability was. He sold and he took $110 million, paid off the debt of the bank, and he still had like $100 million left over. I mean, sometimes it was unbelievable. I mean, here's the funny thing about it, though, Dave. I honestly There was nothing. Here's the deal. There was nothing illegal about what he did. Nothing illegal.
Exactly.
And I actually have to say, I envied the man. No, seriously.
I know it. You just like.
I envy the ingenious of the mind that can figure all of this out.
Yeah.
And pull it off.
Well, you got to have connections.
I just want to be really clear for everybody out there. There was nothing that George Kaiser has ever done is illegal. This is totally nothing that George Soros or these people have done.
Right.
Is illegal. It's right. Very legal above board.
Yes.
It's just the fact that we don't see what's really going on.
Right.
And that we're giving them credit for doing these things that are just shrewd and smart.
Right.
And for some reason, we can't get anybody on the right side, which is the conservative side, to be that smart to figure out how to do these things and use that money for our good, for our side.
Yeah. Now, Sean Copeland, who started, I believe it's Spirit Bank, his father was the Democrat leader in the House, Oklahoma House of Representatives. One day I go in to meet with Steve Copeland, his dad, the speaker, the Democrat leader. And I introduced myself. I said, well, pigeonhole me as, Tea Party Republican. And he said to me, he said, Dave, he said, when the Tea Party really first took root, at least in Oklahoma, there were just as many Democrats as Republicans. And I said, oh, well, tell me more. He said, Dave, it was about the too big to fail getting special deals in the mom and pops in Oklahoma. Got nothing. And so this was a problem. And the Democrats were just as incensed as the grassroots Republicans over these deals, the too big to fail, which really came out of the Obama early years. Mm-hmm. And the thing that George Kaiser did was he buddied up to Obama. It's about who you know, what boards you get appointed to. And George Kaiser has done that very effectively.
Yeah. And see, it's interesting. I don't think George Kaiser has ever had a conservative bone in his body. Okay. I don't think he's ever thought about going, but as far as the common person, we're there again. Democrats are coming over to the Republican side because they see what's going on. Okay.
Right.
They see what's going on.
Yeah.
But I'm afraid we're going to do that. I don't know if you know, but even back on the KFAQ days, I predicted the death of the Tea Party. And I remember a good friend of ours that is affiliated with an organization that is by the month of September and the day after the 11th.
Yeah, sure.
So anyway, I remember saying that basically, that whole Tea Party movement is dead.
Right. That doesn't mean
they didn't want to believe it. And see, I saw it coming because, and here's what killed it. What killed it is you got people in it for their own. See, like you always like the hippie movement. Okay. I always like to talk about this.
Yeah.
The hippie movement, I believe, was a legit, very, it was pure.
Yeah.
Okay. I was a part of it. I came in on the tail end. I came on the bad end. Okay. And, excuse me. I apologize to everybody. I'm trying to get this thing squared away so that I can. So the technology, I'm not tech savvy, but anyway, as long as you can hear me and hear me properly, it's good. I just don't want this covering my mic part. You're still hearing me properly, right?
Yeah, we are. We're good. Okay.
All right. So, but anyway, the hippie movement started out as a pure thing. People, the free love, we're not talking about free sex. That's what it turned into. Originally, people really wanted to be able to trust, love everybody. It was almost kind of like a biblical Christian type of thing done in a secular way, and it was sadly co-opted by corrupt man. I mean, you got people with corrupt morals and things coming in, swooping in, and they perverted it. Okay, that's what ended up happening in the Tea Party movement. I'm sorry, in the hippie movement. So in the Tea Party movement, you had the same thing. People came in. I don't know if you know how it started. If you remember, it was the guy on CNBC.
Rick Scully.
Yeah, right. And so Rick, one morning, he does the from Chicago.
Yes.
On the floor, market. He got up and went into this rant, and it started the whole Tea Party movement. And it got mad. And I remember, to me, what spoke of the death of it, Dick Armey. I don't know if you remember, Dick Armey started his own whole organization. Mm-hmm. And then it was exposed. It came out that Dick Armey, it was raising so much money, but he had this bus. You know, the bus was worth like $700,000-$800,000. He was bringing in $2 million a year. He was, it became Dick Armey's bank.
Yep.
He was living high on the hog, and only so much money was going for this. And basically, 90% of it was going to Dick Armey, and 10% was going, Dick Armey's going around the country speaking and doing all these Tea Party things, but mainly it was raising money for Dick Armey.
Yeah.
And so that's the tragedy. And then what I saw too, and this is one of the sad things about the conservative movement that really bugs me, and still going on. It's like, what's the thing? It's like herding cats.
Yeah.
Here's how I'm going to tell you, I've said this many times, and it kind of irks me. You take George Soros, okay, mm-hmm. the Democrats. Mm-hmm. Here's how George Soros operates. George Soros says, okay, I have $10 million, and he'll go to the NAACP. Mm-hmm. He'll look at an organization, see what they're doing. He says, okay, I've got $10 million. Here's $10 million. You do what you do, and in 5 years, I'm going to come back, and if you're successful in doing what you do,
yep,
you get more money. Because mm-hmm. I like what you do. Mm-hmm. Rich Republicans, first of all, they want to give it all to a candidate. Right?
Yep.
And then what they want to do is they want to start up here where the Democrats, they'll start down here. Grassroots level, like the Obama, culture. Obama and them,
community organizers,
same thing. And so they'll give these community activists this, and they'll organize these little groups, and they'll go door to door. They'll have these meetings. Mm-hmm. They'll be out there at all these little parks, every time there's a little jazz festival, every mm-hmm. time there's some little thing at the park somewhere, they've got a table, they've got people going around signing up people for this mailing list, and they'll send them this. I've been there. I used to run a soccer program up in North Tulsa, right through the Catholic Charities. We started a soccer program.
They do a lot of good work.
Oh, Catholic Charities is good, but next thing we know, you've got some Democrat mm-hmm. organization out there, people signing people a voter registration, I told them, sure, give me that. And I say, listen, how many want to sign up Republican? Man, these people start, wait.
Yeah.
I'm signing up Republicans, and they, wait a minute. They didn't want that. We didn't come here to sign up Republicans,
Exactly. So,
but that's how Soros and these people, the Democrats, the owners of Progressive, what's their name? I can't think of their names. There's
the Progressive Auto Insurance?
Yeah.
Yeah, I know. They're very liberal.
It's a father and a son. Lewis?
I don't remember the name.
Peter Lewis? Peter and something. Anyway, the owners of Progressive, that's why they're even named Progressive. That's the Progressive anyway, these people are the big, quiet money donor. Everybody knows about Soros, but there's many other ones out there, and they give their money, but they give it quietly to these organizations. Whereas Republicans, they want to give their money, and then they want to tell the people what they want them to do.
Yeah.
So, you know, you want to buy a candidate, and here's what I want you to do, boy. Here's $10 million, and here's what I want. And Soros and his, and he said, here's $10 million. You do what you do.
Yeah.
Because that's why you're getting my money, because I already know what you're doing on a little bit of money. So now, you know, you guys destroying Seattle up there, keep it up. Here's $5 million, Antifa. Yeah. And, you know, here's so much money, NAACP. Here's so much money, Al Sharpton. And then Al Sharpton, what does he do? His National Action Network, they get bigger. They get more people. They hire more people to do more of what they do. Republicans can't. There's great organizations out there. I've got friends in Chicago. I've got them in Atlanta. I've got that. They're starving. They can't ever get going because they don't have any money. They don't have any money to get anybody to help them do what they can do.
Yeah, Eddie, we got a hard break in about 2 minutes. So where we started on this was about two conservative black women. Now I'm going to say Elaine, I know is, but the board member Mitchell now all of a sudden is getting some backbone and some encouragement to stand up and ask the tough questions. I did talk to Elena a couple of months ago. She wants to come on with us. I'm going to reach out to her and maybe we'll get her on here to really, because look, you know, the leftist in legacy media is not going to tell her story the way she can. And
I have a funny story. She was at a 9/12 meeting and she bought my book. Months ago, way back when early. And for some reason, I thought she was somebody else. And so I autographed and signed it all to the wrong name. So I've got, and she was gone or somebody took it to her. So I owe her another book anyway.
Well, there you go.
So I'm looking forward to seeing her again. Nice lady. Very, very nice lady. So yeah, that'll be good.
What do we got coming up on the other side of the break?
Oh man. Oh yeah. Joe Biden's fist bump with the Saudi prince. We got to take care of that. Right. Yeah. The new variant of COVID.
Oh,
it's a big deal, Dave. It's a big deal. This is
I'm shaking in my boots.
Don't quote me. I'm telling you, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC, they're warning of this new strain just in time for the election, right?
All right. Yeah. What else we got?
So those are the things.
I think we've got to talk about
Trump. We've got to talk about Ivana Trump real quick. Oh, the University of Pennsylvania's nomination for Woman of the Year and the dark horse for president, the Democrat nominee for president. So, so we've got to
we
should have all seen this coming. When I say you'll say, oh yeah. So,
all right.
Anyway, looking forward. That's coming up on the other side.
All right. Be back in a minute.
Van Risingham. Hey, by the way, while we take this break, I'm going to go ahead and speak about my book. It's called Y'all Have Sinned, and it is available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, and eventually we'll get it up on one of our websites.
I hope we do a good review of it, Eddie, you and me.
Yeah.
Yeah, as a project.
So look for it. If you'll go to freshblackcoffee@gmail.com, freshblackcoffee@gmail.com, give us your address and everything. We'll keep you abreast of everything, okay? Anyway, in the meantime, we'll get back to the show. All right, we are black.
Speak for yourself. Yes.
Speak for yourself. You're going to put that at the beginning.
Okay.
Speak for yourself.
There we go.
All right.
What you got for me, Eddie?
Oh, yeah. Hey, let's do a couple of things. As you know, our dear president, Joseph Biden.
Very dear.
He has made this trip to Israel and to Saudi Arabia. And he did the fist bump with the crown prince. But he was hoping for oil. Well, the premier of France told him, you know, don't waste your time because there's no oil.
Yeah.
Tapped out, literally tapped out.
Sure.
Well, Fox, I was just on Fox checking it all out, and there's a conflict here. Fox, I looked at 2 hours ago, they say, oh, he's gotten a promise of more oil. And then an hour later, they say, well, no, they can't. So we don't know which it is, because they've used up 10% of what they can get, and they're only able to do 13%. So there's maybe 3% more. But, you know, we've got Europe, Asia. I mean, they've got their own Middle East. So, you know, there's only so much oil to go around. So I don't know what's going on. So I have a feeling that the first report came out of the White House itself. And then I think probably somebody came along and said, well, here's the real deal. So that's probably what happened. That's why we're not getting any more oil. And so we're just screwed unless they go to the other. So that's one report. Ivana Trump was found dead Thursday. And of course, you know, first thing everybody suspects that probably the Donald killed her or something.
Oh, God.
I know, but no, apparently she fell. I think she fell down some steps, and she had body contusions. I think what happened, she probably would. I mean, they're not going into it. The only thing I can think is she may have cracked her rib and punctured her lung through a cracked rib or broken her neck. But they said it was a bodily injury from the fall. I think she fell down some stairs, and she was alone at home, and that caused her. She was 73 years old, which makes me kind of be careful.
Yeah, I've just got word. We'll have to truncate this section, but why don't we try to get through these things?
Yeah. Why? Because you're aged also.
No, I've got.
If I mentioned how old she is.
I've got.
Oh, yeah, I just got word.
I got kiddos screaming, it's lunchtime.
Okay, yeah. I just need to mention, too, here, throwing my little ad for Low T Centers Tulsa, that honestly, if you're a man and you're kind of feeling your age or whatever, and you need some extra energy and vitality, go see Low T there in Bixby. It's just right. It's at about 106th Street. Actually, it's right by Chick-fil-A. So if you turn in there off of Memorial and 106
there you go.
By Chick-fil-A, instead of turning left off of turning into Chick-fil-A there, turn right, and you'll go right to the Low T Center. They've introduced a new shot they're giving in addition to the testosterone.
Yeah.
But it's a combination of vitamins and B12 and different other things to make you feel even better. And I have to admit, I just got it for the first time this week, and I even paid for it.
All right.
That one wasn't a free one.
Sure.
Endorsement didn't cover that, but man, I have to admit, it actually did the job. It feels really good. But anyway, it just for your skin, your muscles. I'll confess, I am on Tuesday. This Tuesday, I will be 72 years old.
Ooh, there you go.
Or young, however you want to.
Yeah. Feel. And I have to tell you, yesterday I had my annual physical. And they included in the blood work is that they want to start checking my testosterone. So we'll see when that comes back. I may need to get some coaching from you on that.
You can just go down there and have them do a test. But anyway, Low T Center down on South Memorial. Okay. Well, we'll move on, and I'll probably have some more information later on. You know. This one you'll love, and this is the big story I want to the big story I want to get to here in a little bit. But Leah Thomas, you remember Leah Thomas?
The feminine swimmer who's, you know, 200 and some pounds, 6'6".
The female swimmer that's
feeling very feminine
the junk,
lately.
The junk in the trunk. In the junk. Yeah.
Yeah. But never, anyway. Never mind what you physically are acknowledge. It's she feels feminine. So,
yeah. And you put a little makeup on, a little lipstick, and you can be a woman today. Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Well, Leah Thomas has been nominated by her University of Pennsylvania, for NCAA Woman of the Year.
Well, now is that Penn or Penn State? I thought
it's Penn, University of Penn.
That's an Ivy League school. It's the only state school that's an Ivy League. Yeah,
it's an Ivy League school,
and it's actually the home of a Wharton Business College, which is one of the top business colleges.
Exactly, where Donald Trump has his degree from,
and Elon Musk is another alumni. And
it's a pretty prestigious. It's the number one business school in the country. So if you want, Baylor is up there, which I was surprised. Baylor is another one in top five. Baylor Business School. So if you want to get a good job and be known for your business, I'm partial to the Texas Tech School of Business.
Of course.
Especially in the oil business. I think we only really have one more story left here since you have to go and cut it short anyway. There's a new strain of COVID coming, Dave.
Okay.
And this is supposed to be a big deal. It's supposed to be the big strain. It's called the BA.5 strain. Mm-hmm. And everybody, CNN, ABC, CBS, NBC warned of this strain. They say it's a big deal, calling for everyone, guess what, to get masked up and boosted, right?
Oh, God.
And,
just in time for the midterm elections, right? Yep.
And
we got to find a way to steal those elections.
Of course, it wouldn't be right unless in recent remarks, White House medical advisor Dr. Anthony Fauci raised his ugly head.
Yeah.
Called for the virus to still be taken seriously and warned Americans who want to put the pandemic in the past, right? Like you have been, realize it's not gone yet.
No.
He came on MSNBC Tuesday and recommended continue to mask up indoors and get their second booster shot to combat the spread of the BA.5 variant.
Yeah.
He said he admitted it would be a hard sell for Americans at this point. Now, the thing about it, the rise of the new Deltacron. Now, I think we're going backwards because we're at Omicron. So what happened to, all of the Zulu and the Upsilons,
Letters.
We're going back from Omicron back to Delta. So I don't know what's going on with that.
Okay.
But they said the rise of the new Deltacron BA combines the worst traits of Omicron with a potential severity reminiscent of Delta. So you're going to take Omicron and Delta and put them together. And it's just now.
All right.
They're telling everyone this time, though, they want you to get the N95 masks. I guess they haven't been selling enough of those. So they want you to get the N90, not just your little old blue mask, but they want you to get the N95. You're gonna put out some bucks this time. And
wait a minute, that's an admission. They're admitting that the old masks were not effective.
I think you're very, very right. If they want you to get the N95, they're basically admitting that the other masks aren't good enough to stop. So if it's not good enough to stop this one, that means it wasn't good enough to.
Yeah. They mandated it, said, it'll keep you safe. Yeah.
Yeah.
So go ahead, finish that up.
They're repeating the COVID-19 waves have left millions of people dead with only vaccines, mm-hmm. helping to blunt the toll. Only vaccines, yeah, with all the people that have been, you heard about Australia, right? 95% vaccinated, and they're the ones right now. And New Zealand, same. They're having epidemics. China, epidemics of the COVID again. They're the main ones starting.
Yeah,
it's evolving, escaping immunity, and diving an uptick, uptick in cases and hospitalizations.
Yeah, they didn't say anything about hydroxychloroquine actually being one of the best early treatments. They didn't say anything about ivermectin stopping it dead in its path. It's only the vaccine. So yeah, it's more of that same crap narrative.
Yeah, they're nicknaming this. I love this. The ninja.
Oh, the ninja. The ninja. Okay. Oh yeah. Now the we're ninja. Supposed to be terrified. We're terrified.
This and I have one more short one that we'll end mm-hmm. with. I think that they're calling the most dangerous yet, and it's the most dangerous because they need to convince you that we have to have mail-in ballots in November.
Yeah, it's just it. That'll stop.
Cannot show up at the ballot box.
That will stop COVID. Mail-in ballots will stop
COVID. Ballots. We the have best to treatment do ever. This in yes. November.
Yeah.
So that they can somehow rig these elections again.
Yeah. Now, I got one other thing is this week, the consumer price index inflation number went. Now, they were thinking that could go as high as a high eights, close to 9%. It comes out and they say 9.1. Okay. Right. And 9. Then 1. This, Eddie, here comes the producer price index.
Right.
That's wholesale inflation is 11 point something.
Which means what?
That means the retail's gonna follow producer, right?
And we're just and if it's 11, if the consumer's 11, what's that gonna do for the consumer next? If the producer is 11, what's it gonna do to the consumer next?
We're looking double digit inflation. There's no other way around it.
Yeah, it's let's just put it this way. It's bad. Or as the Asians say, number 10, not good.
Right. Now, the Biden stimulus, right after he got elected and he signed it, okay, you got your check for what? A couple gets $2,800, maybe they got kids, they get some more. Okay, how's that working out for you now? Because it's all eaten up.
Oh, it's gone.
Between gas increases, you know, all of your housing, all of your food, all of your inflation, it's gone. I hope you enjoyed.
Dave, there's nothing they can do.
Yeah.
There's nothing they can do to help this right now.
No.
Well, I mean, let me put it this way. There's something they can do, but they can't do it because it will make them look bad to the useful idiots, basically.
Yeah.
The people who are in the know what they need to do, but that won't get them the votes.
Yep.
So what they will do is try to get the votes, which is only going to make it that much worse. I mean, it's just digging deeper and deeper and deeper and deeper.
Yeah,
and
exactly.
It's bad. But which leads me to the final story, and then we'll end here.
Yeah.
For 2024, we know what's going to happen this 2022.
Right.
We assume
unless they
cheat. Which I hope by the way, I'll just throw this out there right now. Last report, Liz Cheney is down 20 points in her own reelection.
And now, I got an update this morning. Trump's PAC just threw another $500,000 in to help defeat her.
Well, good. They need to. The only fear that I have, and I hope the Democrats in Wyoming are smart enough to get rid of Liz Cheney. I mean, I think they're smart. I think Wyoming Democrats at least have enough integrity like Oklahoma Democrats. I think Oklahoma Democrats are smart enough to not want these people that are up there at the top. The only Democrats in Oklahoma that are in some way maybe too dumb are the city dwelling Democrats that will vote for Deborah Gist and our Democrat
that,
running
and,
for
and
governor.
the wealthy out in Jackson Hole are about the only ones that will vote for her.
That's the only fear, but she's got to go. To watch her at these these hearings, January 6th here. And you know who's running the hearings this week?
No. Kinzinger?
Yeah, Adam Kinzinger. All right, but so there's a new book just out. It just came out.
Yeah.
And he was on. I'm surprised that Greg Kelly's the only one who had him on. There's Joel Gilbert. He's an author and a videographer. He's got a new documentary that just came out this week, and it's called Michelle Obama 2024.
Oh, God, no.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
Well, know what? She and her husband may be the ones actually running the country now. Well,
that's what it is. But you've got if you haven't ordered this documentary, get his book. Shows that she is following the exact pattern of Barack.
Oh, God.
Back in 2006
Here it comes.
To 2008.
Here it comes.
She gave the keynote speech at the Democratic Convention.
Yep.
The last time, which is what Barack did in 2008 mm-hmm. or 2007 before the 2008 election. They've got everything set into place for her to run and replace Joe.
You heard it here first, folks. Michelle Obama, 2024.
Michelle Obama, 2024. Right. That's what they're setting up for. So, but this book and this documentary exposes all of the stuff. She is not popular like Barack. It shows how she has been betraying the Black community forever. She didn't grow up in the Black community. She didn't grow up a friend of the Black community. No. She has betrayed the Black community the entirety of her life. I mean, it's bad.
Yep.
She was dumping Black patients out of the ER into inferior facilities, all kinds. I mean, it's
all
bad.
Right.
If you get a chance, go on Newsmax back to Greg Kelly's 7/14/22. Look up July 14th.
All right.
And go to the 36-minute, 52-second. I even have this for you.
Okay.
I'm here. We're here for you. 36 minutes, 50 seconds on July 14th, 2022.
All right.
On the Greg Kelly Show. And it will start this segment of Joel Gilbert. And tell everybody you know to get this book and this video and check it out. And send it to all of your non-conservative, especially Black friends, because this is very so exposed. Michelle, right. before kill it before it grows. Okay.
All right. So yeah, on Newsmax.com, you can pull up Greg Kelly's shows for this past week. And right. so on Thursday at 36 minutes in, we'll get that.
36 and 50 seconds.
In 50 seconds. All right. Eddie, I'm going to jump. Okay.
I know you got it. Okay, Grandpa.
That's right. Yeah, I love that. Grandpa, I love the sound of that.
See, that's the thing. My grandkids are in California, so I don't have I don't have to do that. I'll just go visit them and hang out the whole time. But everybody, God bless, and we'll talk to you next week. And have a great week. Stay cool wherever you are, and hopefully you'll enjoy it. Tell your friends about this program, and
good.
We'll be with you next week. Bye, Dave. Take care.
See ya. See you next time.